save made by Searles, and the Predators win it. Win it.
Welcome to Smashville Live on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Streaming live on Facebook Live, Twitch, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com.
Welcome into Smashville Live every Wednesday night here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name's Max Herz. Happy to be your host this evening. As always, Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We're going off the ice tonight. Two great guests. Preds PA announcer Paul McCann, who you hear all the time, will join us at 6:30 for the second half of the show. But first up, a name that you got to hear on Bally Sports last night, recognized for all her great work, a lot of it behind the scenes with the Preds. Preds COO, Chief Operating Officer Michelle Kennedy is with us. Michelle, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Max. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
We are very happy to have you on. And a lot of folks saw you on TV last night, that little feature that played on the pregame show as part of Women's History Month. We just had National Girls and Women's in Sports Day earlier this month as well. So really happy to have you here for the first half hour of the show and be able to talk to you even more. I got a couple minutes on TV, but 30 minutes here on radio. So first up, you're the COO of the team. That means a lot of different things at a lot of different places and a lot of different corporate ladders. What does it mean with the Nashville Predators?
I mean, it really means I get involved in just a little bit of everything. My background is in, I often say I have a double professional disability. I'm both an accountant and a lawyer. And so prior to being COO, I was general counsel and CFO. And so, you know, a lot of things of that nature still gravitate to me, although we have a terrific CFO and a terrific general counsel now. A lot of that comes to me, but then I get involved in a little bit of everything as well. So it's not only the legal stuff, you know, HR issues or operational issues. When we were in the midst of a pandemic, I got the unfortunate moniker of COVID queen, because someone had to preside over all the protocols and sort of make difficult calls about different things. So, you know, about anything except player acquisition and roster moves, I get involved in around here. So it's, you know, I often say as well that I have a little bit of professional ADD. I don't like to just do the same thing all the time. And so if variety is the spice of life, I certainly have it in my role, because every day is different and I love it.
You joined the team in 2008, so coming up on 15 years soon, which will certainly be exciting. But like you said, you were one of the team's legal counsels initially, then became the CFO and now the COO. What's it been like growing with this team? I mean, you joined really right around the Save the Team movement to keep the Predators here, and now they're one of the biggest sports organizations and biggest companies, period, in the city.
Yeah, you know, it's really, really, I was just talking to someone about this a couple of days ago. It is really to look back on my time here makes me smile. It's so fulfilling to have been a part of so much of that growth. You know, there were some very well publicized, I'm not, you know, telling anything that you can't read in the paper, but as soon as as the local owners bought this franchise, there was a gentleman from California involved, and there was a huge scandal related to that. He ended up filing bankruptcy, going to federal prison. And so as I was an attorney who lived through all of that, and it was just unpleasant, you know, to say the least. And so, you know, to have ownership who stuck through that, saw us through some really difficult times, and now to be a part of, you know, I really often identify the All-Star game here, then the Stanley Cup final run. Those things were, for the world, a turning point for Nashville. It was a gradual crescendo for those of us who were here from way before that until now. But those were the times, those were the things that really put us on the map and let other people realize that this is a hockey city. And then we go through yet another great NHL event. The Stadium Series weekend was unbelievable. The result of the game was not what we wanted. But again, Nashville and our team and our city just came out in huge ways to support that event. And every time the NHL comes here for one of those tentpole events, they leave just smiling and amazed and looking forward to the next time they come back. So it's been great. It really has. The feeling that I have being a part of this organization and having been a part of a transformation from a sleepy little, you know, hockey town to what we are now. There's a lot of pride in that and a lot of folks that I work with. And it's been a great ride and a lot of fun to be a part of it.
We're talking to Nashville Predators COO Michelle Kennedy here on Smashville Live. And you mentioned ownership, and you're one of the folks in the organization who's involved in a lot of different ways with ownership. And the Preds ownership is very different than ownership in a lot of sports and a lot of franchises, just because of how many people are in there. What makes Preds ownership unique from your point of view?
You know, it's because they're fans. The guys, you know, the people who bought this team in 2007 did not buy this team because they had a lifelong aspiration for being a professional sports owner. They bought it because they were day one season ticket holders and didn't want their team to leave. And so they have a passion for our organization like no other. So, I mean, over time, obviously they've acquired a whole lot of knowledge about what it is to own and operate a professional sports team. But if you go back to the essence of it, that's what I think is so cool, for lack of a more fancy, eloquent word. It's just so cool that they're fans. And I will tell you that there are a number of guys who are in our ownership group that if you put them in a lineup of 50 people, they'd be the last three or four or five that you'd choose. They're not guys who have any pretense. They're not guys who, fit any mold that someone might paint a picture of. They are at their essence fans of our organization, and thank goodness they are, you know, because what would have happened in 2007 were it not for our city and people, citizens of our city like that, who stepped up and kept us here. And it would have been such a shame for this city and the hockey world to have missed on the ride that has become the Nashville Predators.
Talking with Michelle Kennedy, Pred COO, here on Smashville Live. And we heard during that TV feature yesterday that you are a member and a lead voice on the Preds Guider Board, which is a six-letter acronym standing for Growth, Understanding, Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Representation. First off, what does that board mean to you?
It means everything. We started that board, I remember, during the dark days of COVID. Sean and I were talking about a number of different things. And it was at a time when, we were starting to feel a lot of unrest in the world. And he and I talked about it, and we said, you know what, we believe in this stuff passionately. We are very about all of the things that appear unjust right now. Let's do something. Let's formalize our stance on that. Let's create something that is a driver for that, so that it's not a PS or an oh, by the way for us. Let's sort of ancillarily get involved in that. We wanted to do it in a real way. And so we identified Robin Lee, who is absolutely incredible, and Jack Burke, who is absolutely incredible. And we had lunch with them one day. And it was very awkward in that it was the first time any of us had kind of been out of our homes during those first few months of COVID. And I remember we walked in, we were at Fordyce Bellevue, and we walked into DeSano's Pizza place at Bellevue, and we're all wearing our masks, and we sit down at the table and we get our pizza, and we're not quite sure, well, when do we take our masks off? It was like a baby learning to walk. It was so, so awkward. But aside from the awkwardness of mask protocol and us being around other people out of our families for the first time, it was a great discussion. And I'll tell you, I could spend the next whatever time we have talking about Robin Lee and what she's done with that program. But we had a conceptual discussion about it, and then she just took off with it. And she has created this dynamic advisory board. We have probably 40 different people internally in our organization who just wanted to get involved in it and who have now become a part of it. And it is, I love, you know, I said last night on that, when I was talking to Bally's about, I love watching young people develop, because more of my career is behind me than in front of me. That's just math. And she just delights me, the way that she's taken on to that and created, she owns it, and she's created a great, great thing. And so many people are following inside and outside of our organization. And it's awesome. And fundamentally, there is just no reason that our organization and our sport shouldn't look more like our community and our world. And that's what it's about at its essence. And I think that it's already done and will continue to do remarkable things. And Robin gets a great deal of credit for that.
Yeah, that's great. We're talking with Michelle Kennedy, Nashville Predators COO, here on Smashville Live, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You mentioned the Preds Foundation. So much of your work has either been with or tangential to the foundation over the last decade plus with the Predators. And we've had Jerry Helper on a couple of times, who is the original director of communications for the team, now retiring and remaining on the board of the foundation. What has the foundation meant to the team? And what did someone like Jerry mean to the foundation?
Jerry meant everything to the foundation. I mean, he was here from the beginning when the foundation was sort of an afterthought. And I say to people all the time now, and I mean it, every word of it, the foundation is as much a part of our infrastructure and as much a part of the mission of our organization as playing hockey and hosting concerts. I mean, it is the essence of what we do. And we've always had, and I think some of it goes back to the Save the Team rally, and we've always had a really special connectivity with our community. Our players are unbelievable in the community. And it's not because, you know, we say they have to, they love it. I think David Poile has done a really great job of creating a team and having players on our team who feel that same way. And so we have guys who love what they do in the community. We love what we do in the community. And so the foundation is absolutely a core part of what we do. And were it not for Jerry and his vision and sticking with it all these years and rallying support around him, it wouldn't have had a chance to take off like it has. And it is something that no matter where I go, whether it's professional or personal, almost always the Predators in the community comes up. People say all the time, wow, what you guys do in the community is so awesome. And, you know, I certainly hope that I am on the tail end of the only pandemic I will ever live through in my life. But it in times like that, we feel even more drawn to people to help our community because so many people were struggling during that period of time. And so many people still are, you know, during that period of time when a lot of places kind of went dark, we rallied and, you know, something around $2.5 or $3 million in cash and in-kind services we offered during that period of time because we saw people in need and we understand that we have a gigantic megaphone and we can amplify so many great causes. And that's part of our nature and that's what we're going to do. And so I could talk about Robin or the foundation or so many things like that. The foundation is so important. I love what we do. I love that we have an entire employee base, players, coaches that rally around it. And it is very, very, very important to our organization and to most everyone in it.
Fred COO Michelle Kennedy is our guest here on Smashville Live. And you talk about the example that the team sets for the community, both with charity work and through equity, diversity, and inclusion initiatives. For you personally, what type of example do you hope to set as a female executive for the Nashville Predators?
You know, what I as you might imagine, I get a lot of questions about what's it like to be a woman in your business. And I say to people a lot, people usually ask me to come speak on a Women in Sports panel one time because I say, I don't feel it. I've had the very good fortune of having a great career. I feel like I'm respected as a hardworking professional and I've never felt held back by the fact that I'm a woman. And so I want other young girls to see that and to think that there should be, to understand there should be no limits. If you decide you want to do it, you should be able to do it. I mean, think about my path is so weird. My path is male, female, or anything. It doesn't matter. Just decide you want to do something and do it. I decided when I was in my early 30s that I was going to make my way out of college sports into professional sports. And oh, by the way, between those, I'm just going to go to law school when I'm 34 years old. I mean, it is not every people who love me looked at me like I was crazy. And when someone would say, well, why exactly are you going to go to law school? And what do you want to do on the other side of that? And I said, well, I want to use both my finance accounting background and my legal background in the same context in professional sports. And I had so many people say to me, Michelle, that doesn't exist. And I guess I'm just hard-headed enough that I pushed on and decided that it did. And, you know, stars kind of aligned, and some of it's luck, some of it's knowledge, and it's land in the right place. And so I don't want people to think because I'm X, Y, or Z, I can't do this. And so if there's anything I want people to get from my experience, it's that. I don't want anyone to feel held back. You know, I grew up in a town of 1,000 people. I went to a tiny public high school. I had the great fortune of being a decent basketball player and a decently smart kid. And so I had the tremendous fortune of going to Vanderbilt to college. But again, I'm not really, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not unique in a way that everyone else should be able to achieve what I achieve. Just put your mind to it and do it, and don't let there be any artificial barriers that stop you. That's what I would like, especially young women and girls, to hear about my experience.
She's Michelle Kennedy. She's the Nashville Predators Chief Operating Officer. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit more about Michelle's upbringing, coming to Nashville, her time hooping at Vanderbilt, and more. This is Smashville Live, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, New Amsterdam Vodka, and Red Spirits and Wine. We'll be back with more after this here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Max Ayers, your host on this Wednesday night. We're talking with Preds Chief Operating Officer Michelle Kennedy here on the show. Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Hendersonville. Michelle is back with us, and you talked about your time at Vanderbilt. That's what brought you to Nashville from Hawesville, Kentucky, starting in 1989. And you were on some great Commodore women's basketball teams, all three NCAA teams, an Elite Eight team. What was it like coming to Vandy from, like you said, a small town? And what are your best memories from your college basketball time?
You know, it was great. I will tell you that academically, it was quite a transition. You know, I was this tiny little public high school in Kentucky. And I this next comment is not to be boastful. It's to set the context of that versus Vanderbilt. I was the valedictorian of my class. And so, you know, I'm a really smart kid. So I'm figuring I'm going to just cruise into Vanderbilt and be great. I felt totally out of my class. I was overwhelmed at first. I remember, like, I you still have a visual. I remember standing in my dorm room one morning, and my mom called me, and she asked how things were going. And I'm like, Mom, I am so lost. I'm about to go to this chemistry class, and I have no idea what this guy's saying. To this day, I will never forget this man's name. His name was T.P. Hanusa, and I feel like he deliberately deceived me every day. And then put things on the test that were the opposite of what he had told me. It was so overwhelming to me. And so when I first went to Vanderbilt, interesting story, I thought I was going to be a doctor. And then T.P. Hanusa's first chemistry class at Vanderbilt, I had to give it up right away. I was like, oh my gosh, I will never get out of school if that's my aspiration. So I pivoted and became an economics major and, you know, all that. But it was great. And it was, you know, my experience at Vanderbilt, it's very different than a student that's not a student athlete at Vanderbilt, because we would walk on campus the first day and preseason conditioning starts. You play through holidays, and at the end of the season, depending on how well you do, we had really good teams, not because of me, we'll get to that. but we never had any time. And so we would, in the late spring, like the last few weeks of school, we wouldn't have anything to do. It was the off season. And so we would all kind of look at each other like, well, what do you do? And so we became really good friends with a lot of baseball players. And so we would go to baseball games. And that was sort of our recreation during the day, because we never knew what to do except to study and have practice and all those things. And so it was great. You know, I have some really great friends who actually have been texting me. My text thread is blowing up with, there are about six or eight of my former teammates who are constantly texting about something. Today, there's some silliness. I don't even know what it is. I haven't read it yet, but I have some really, really great friends that I still stay in constant touch with. And I really think that, I mean, Vanderbilt became, has was the essence of so much of my Nashville experience. You know, it was through being a student athlete at Vanderbilt that I eventually went back to work at Vanderbilt. And it was through that that I met so many people who have been just instrumental in my professional life. And, you know, there's so many fun memories of my time at Vanderbilt, a lot of just silly stuff on buses driving from city to city. Back then we did not charter. We did not do, you know, we took long, long bus rides and had the best time and we're so close because of it. But I would not have done anything differently. Very different college experience than a lot of people have. But it was terrific. The basketball part, even though, you know, I say often that I am my distinction as being the most anonymous player in Vanderbilt history. You have to look long and hard to find any statistical evidence of my existence. But I had a great seat. I had great teammates and we had great success. And it really did pave the way for the rest of my career. It was during those years that I saw there was a woman named June Stewart who always traveled with us. And so I was really intrigued by her, and because she was the business person who'd travel with us. And so I always would think, maybe I want to do what Miss Stu does when I grow up. And so a lot of those things really had a very powerful impact on forming the premise of what would eventually be my career. So it was fantastic. I loved it. It was, you know, after the first semester or so, I sort of got over the shell shock of, oh my gosh, all these people are so smart and all these classes are so hard. And I ended up having a respectable GPA and doing just fine. But it was a shock to this little Hawesville, Kentucky girl system at the beginning.
Michelle Kennedy is the chief operating officer of the Nashville Predators with us here on Smashville Live. And as you mentioned, you would go on to work for Vanderbilt before you were with the Predators as an associate athletic director. How did that role set you up to make the leap to pro sports and do all the things you've done with the Preds?
You know, I say to people all the time, that was, I know that I couldn't have been the general counsel of the Preds without a law degree, and I couldn't have been an accountant without having worked in public accounting, but it was that 7 years that I spent in the athletic department at Vanderbilt that was the most important part professionally of the foundation that created whatever aptitude anyone judges that I have now, because it was people and young people who are thinking about a profession in sports ask me all the time, well, I think I really want to work in college sports. But I said, listen, your first job, you need to get your foot in the door. You will eat working in college sports and transitioning to the pros or vice versa. It is a transferable skill set. You're going to learn so many things in one or the other that you will help you understand so many other things about the other if you switch to it later. In my case, Vanderbilt at the time, and still relative to the rest of the SEC athletic departments, is probably this way. It was a very small athletic department. And so there were, you know, five or six of us who were in the executive staff who reported to the athletic director. And we really all saw a great cross section of the entire business, the entire operation. And we also were very budget conscious. And so we were hands-on and we did, I remember preseason the night before a football game, Steve Franks, Carla Williams, myself, Jim, Todd Turner, Brad Bates, we're all out on the football stadium painting the rails the night before, you know, the senior executives out there painting the rails because it's a great foundation for what we do here. What, you know, and not in that, I mean, I'm not necessarily out painting rails every day, but I would. But, you know, our philosophy here is one goal. We are all in this together. We're going to do whatever it takes to be successful here. And so that was just foundationally a great, great experience for me. I had tremendous colleagues who are some of my best friends. And we all, in much the same way as many people that are surrounding me here now, we work well together. We understand each other. We like each other. And it was a great experience to see everything from, you know, when I was at Vanderbilt, I was everything from managing the business office to managing our operations department, corporate sponsorship. I mean, it's everything. And so it was a great glimpse to get of, laid a great foundation for whatever it was I decided to do next. So I can't speak any more highly than of anything in my professional background than I of those years. And they, it left me with so many great memories and so many foundational elements of my career that have been incredibly important. And as I've moved on.
Well, Michelle, after all the press you've gotten this week between TV last night and radio tonight, that group text of your Vandy teammates is probably going to be blowing up.
They might be poking fun at me right now. That might be what's happening. I'm not sure. I'm afraid to look while I'm still in the air.
We'll let you get off in check. Thanks so much for joining us. And I hope fans will stop by and say, hey, in Smashville when they see you.
Thank you, Max. It's great to talk to you. Have a good, enjoy Paul McCann. He is he's a great guest. You'll have a great time with him, but I appreciate your time.
She's Michelle Kennedy, the Chief Operating Officer of the Nashville Predators, our guest on the first half here of Smashville Live. We'll take a break, come back with Paul McCann, the voice of Bridgestone Arena, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name's Max Herz. I'm your host on this Wednesday night. Jared Cassidy is our producer. Smashville Live, as always, is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds will be in Philly tomorrow night to take on the Flyers. Last team in the NHL that the Preds have not played yet this entire season, the Preds and the Flyers. First meeting in a long, long time, and it will be the 1,000th game for Flyers star forward Claude Giroux. So should be a big night in Philly. Puck drop is at 6 o'clock. Pregame coverage starts at 5 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game tomorrow night with Darren McFarlane before the Preds and the Flyers tomorrow night at 6. Preds will be back home on Saturday night. Also a 6 o'clock puck drop an hour earlier because Hockey Night in Canada will be in the house. The Toronto Maple Leafs will be here for their only visit to Bridgestone Arena this season. So we'll see Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and company here in Smashville. And the Preds will look to keep on rolling. Preds just finished up a 3-1 week last week, have now won 5 of their last 6 games, including a 4-1 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins last night at home. A pretty dominant win, too, against one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. The Penguins make their first post-COVID visit here to Nashville, first time since the day after Christmas 2019 that the Pens were here for a cup final rematch, and the Preds got him pretty good last night. How about that breakaway goal from Ellie Tolvanen, served up on a platter, nice little breakaway set up for you by the other team, and Tolvanen able to skate on down the ice and finish it. So a pretty cool night in Smashville, Preds with a rather dominant 4-1 win, and we welcome in Predators PA announcer Paul McCann, our guest for the second half of the show. The great Paul McCann is here. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the invitation. Great to be back on the game again after quite a long run with Slapshot Radio. But thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, of course, Paul. And we really miss having you on, but we'll stick you in the hockey block any chance we can get here. So always great to hear your voice, whether it's over the speakers at Bridgestone Arena or on the radio here. And Paul, I was actually listening back to the interview I did with you when I was a college reporter covering the Preds in 2015. Great interview, first of all. Your voice hasn't changed a bit. Mine sounded like I was 6 years old, but everybody develops with time, as they say. I want you to tell the story from scratch of how and when you became the Preds PA announcer.
Well, actually, I was a season ticket holder from day one. And the fun part about it was that I was asked to audition with a group. And it's funny because Jerry Helper, who is just retired from the Predators, I used to give him grief all the time saying, oh, just let me do one game. You know, I'll go ahead and I'll get it. You know, you go ahead and just check it off my bucket list. And because I'd done radio for quite a long time and longtime hockey fan since I was a kid, and got the audition, and somehow the gang of idiots that run the game ops offered me the gig, and it's been a lot of fun. This is my 16th season, and I really do enjoy it.
That's incredible. And so many of the traditions and the back and forth that you're involved in, whether it's thanks Paul or all the goal chants that your goal announcements spark and things like that, you are quick to say, that's not you. That is all the fans. And you're just happy to be the initiator.
That is, well, heck, are you kidding me? They initiated. I just come along for the ride. No, they're the gang from 303. I mean, obviously the ringleaders, and the crowd has just taken off with a lot of the different things, and it's really funny when you see the impact that the crowd has on the game. You see it over and over again. The TV timeout standing O. Right when the Predators seem to need it, and they'll come up with a big goal or a big play or a big save. It's funny. I was just talking about this earlier. I remember a game early on where Montreal was in town, and their goaltender had notorious rabbit ears. And he gave up a goal, and man, the crowd got on him and started doing the chants. And you could just see his body language going like he didn't like it. And the crowd really picked up on it and just stayed on him. And after the fourth goal, after he gives up the fourth goal and they pull him, and I mean, 5 minutes after they pulled him out of the game, the crowd was still chanting his name. I'm sure he's back in the locker room, sitting there going, oh, geez, will they just shut up? But you see the impact that the crowd has on the team. You see how it has on the results of what happens on the ice. And that's a lot of the fun of it is to come along for the ride for that.
Preds PA announcer Paul McCann is our guest here on Smashville Live. Year 16 as the public address voice of Bridgestone Arena and the Nashville Predators. And Paul, I have seen you since the outdoor game, but I haven't gotten a chance to ask you. So I'll let the world hear your answer here. What was it like to be the PA voice of the first ever outdoor game here in Nashville?
Well, the NHL does things a little bit different. They bring in their own PA guy for all of the promotional reads and the in-between things and stuff like that. And they allowed me to just do the goal reads and the penalty reads and all of that kind of good stuff. And honestly, it was that first period when I did the 1 minute remaining and heard 70,000 people say thanks, Paul. It was quite a rush. It was a lot of fun, and the NHL does a great job in situations like that, and they've got a great team that works on it, and I was glad I was able to be a part of it.
What does it sound different hearing yourself in an outdoor venue?
Well, it was funny because I really couldn't hear myself well. I know that there were some issues with the sound and stuff like that I know they were working on throughout the game. It was very, very difficult to hear myself. As a matter of fact, I have a nasty habit when I can't hear myself, I tend to push a little bit too hard. So yeah. I was hoarse for about 3 days after the outdoor game. It was a lot of fun.
Well worth it. And I always love asking this question to other PA announcers I've met. Who are some of your favorite names, and what are some of the favorite ways that you've stylized names over the last 16 years?
Well, obviously the originator, and he is very quick to remind me it was the originator. I love the two initial name with a good vowel in the middle of the last name, JP Dumont, PK Subban. The JP Dumont chant was the call was always the most fun. I actually talked to JP right when PK came in. I told him, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna use that for PK. And he kind of looked at me like, well, that's my chant. I'm just like, well, I'm going to borrow it for a little bit. So I used to joke with David Poile. I'd be like, hey, can you pick up RJ Umberger? And any other one that had two initials just to kind of keep that one going. But that's probably one of my most fun ones. I used to love the... Cal O'Reilly was on the team, and we do a riff on the old on the O'Reilly car parts thing when he would score. Things like that are always a lot of fun.
That's awesome. We're talking with Paul McCann, Predators public address announcer. We'll take a break, come back, talk about more of the behind the scenes operation of game day with the Preds and all the in-game entertainment and things like that. You're listening to Smashville Live every Wednesday night here from 6 to 7 on 102.5 The Game. As always, the show is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Take a break, come back with more from Paul here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Max Sir is your host tonight. As always, Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We are very happy to have Predators public address announcer Paul McCann, and we get to say thanks, Paul, for joining us. I don't know if he'll ever get tired of hearing that, but let's go inside of Preds game day, Paul. And I don't know if people know, you're not a full-time employee of the team. So you are, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're only there on game days, and there's a whole crew of people, some of whom are part-time employees or freelancers, some of whom are full-time employees that work together to put together all the in-game entertainment. What's that crew like, and how has it developed over the years?
You know, we're blessed to have really such a solid and stable crew from a standpoint of they've been there for a while mentally, but no, they're just a great gang of crazies. You know, from the folks that run music to the folks that run video. I mean, you know, Brian Bloomer, who's run music there for years, just does an incredible job. Ron Zolkara, who runs video, he was also a previous game night director for the Preds. He's still with the team. So we've got a group that has been with us for a while, and we've got a new game ops presentation guy by the name of Blake brought us. And Blake has really come in and, you know, learned what we do, and now he's starting to put his stamp on it and, you know, put his special band of craziness on it. So I'm very, very excited about the future as we go forward. Cause I mean, Nashville's been known to have just an outstanding game presentation for years. I mean, Vegas came in and basically, complimented us in the highest way possible by copying almost everything. and Seattle has done the exact same thing. And it's fun to see. But you know what? The one thing they can't duplicate is that Smashville crowd. Yeah. I mean, just that, you know, I like to call it a cross between college football and the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I mean, it's a lot of fun that hasn't been able to be duplicated yet, really, in almost any of the other 31 rinks in the NHL.
That's a very apt metaphor. Is that a metaphor? Those two together? Yeah. SEC football and Rocky Horror?
How about that?
That's great. I don't know if I've ever heard you drop that before. I like that one a lot. I really do. And well, we at 102.5 The Game love that you are up top now. I know you miss being in between the penalty boxes, which is where you were during COVID. And the things that you heard and saw down there cannot be repeated on radio. But we like
not
having you up top.
No, not a lot of them.
Yeah. Because you get to sit next to Pete and Hal now, and Hal Gill just torments you on camera all game.
I love it. That is so much fun. you know, and it's funny because even when he did TV, he had to come over and try and photobomb, which was, it was fast. But I love being up in 310. And it's funny because it's almost like coming back home because our family season tickets were in 310. So it's kind of nice to be back up in there. But I do miss being behind, being between the benches. You get a little bit more relationship with the players. You get a different feel for the game. I mean, if I have a choice, I prefer watching hockey from up high because you just see everything better, but you feel it down low. And I do miss that a little bit. We'll see if I'm ever able to get back between the penalty boxes again. But at this point, it's fun to be with Pete and with Pete and Hal, and give Willie and Mace some grief as well. And it was even more fun, having the visitor announcers coming in, and getting to talk to them and meet them and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun as well.
That's great. Preds PA announcer Paul McCann is our guest. You know the voice. I don't need to tell you who this guy is. This is Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. There have been some big moments here in Smashville, whether it's the All-Star Game or the Stanley Cup Final, things like that. How do you make sure you stay composed and use your voice the right way? And obviously, you're a Preds fan from the moment the franchise started. How do you make sure that you control your voice and do your job in an informational and exciting way in big moments like that?
Do I? No, I mean, you have to remember that it is, the PA announcer is considered an off-ice official. Mm-hmm. So you have to, be careful on that. I mean, And it's funny because people give me grief about my, you know, if they like to kid me about my alleged penalty calls. And what's really funny is when I was between the penalty boxes, though, I would get the, you know, I would occasionally get the icy cold stare from the referee that made the call, which was always kind of fun. Tim Peel was fun with that because I remember, I think it was like 2 years before he retired, that he made a call and it was just the biggest steaming pile of excrement you could find. And I mean, I'm looking at him like, are you out of your mind? And he shot me a look like, don't even go there. And I was like, uh-oh, I might get thrown out. I better be good here. but yeah, it's keeping the fandom separate from the job is important. I mean, believe me, one of the bigger thrills of my career in doing this was actually getting to introduce the Stanley Cup. Yeah. However, one of the worst parts of it was for the freaking Penguins, but, you know, that was kind of fun. And I had to keep it straight ahead when, you know, our hearts were broken at that point. But you know, we had to be straight ahead. We had to allow them to celebrate. We had to allow, you know, do it the right way. And I think that's what takes over on all of it, is that you just want to do it the right way.
You mentioned a lot of the behind the scenes folks, the producers, the DJs, things like that. Some of the folks that we see a whole lot of Crazy Kyle. You and him go back and forth. Yep. The last few years, the great Wayne D from SiriusXM has joined you guys as the in-game host. And then, of course, there is the nameless individual behind Nash, who really runs the show. What are those guys like to work with? And what is it like? Is sharing the spotlight with them the right word? Because the spotlight is on those folks.
We really work together as a team on it. You know, I mean, the four characters that you mentioned, I mean, we work together and just kind of make sure that, you know, when it's Kyle's time in the spotlight, it's Kyle's time in the spotlight. And when it's Wayne's time, it's Wayne's. And when it's Nash's, it's Nash. And I think there's, you know, the best way to put it is there's plenty of airtime to go around. I mean, there's no real battle as far as that goes. Honestly, Wayne has come in and really fit in nicely with the team. Really does a great job on the in-arena stuff. No question about that. And, you know, Nash, I mean, is just, you know, he's just insane. I mean, it's a matter of some of the stuff that he pulls. I mean, jumping off of a perfectly good rafter in the ceiling of Brooklyn Arena just with a rope. I mean, I'm sorry, I won't do that. But Nash seems to love it. And, you know, so those are the kind of things. I think we all have our niche. We all, and we all support each other. It's nice to work together as a team like that.
Talking to Paul McCann, Preds PA announcer here on Smashville Live on 102.5 The Game. There are always emotional moments every game, whether it's Ford Heroes, the champ of the game from Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital. And every night for both of those and so many other things, the crowd is on their feet and people are smiling and people are paying tribute and recognizing. Do you have any favorites or most emotional of those that you've voiced over the last decade and a half?
Wow. Always the Hockey Fights Cancer Nights.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because some of the kids that I've got to tell their story on Hockey Fights Cancer, I still see them. I still hear from them. And, but I also think of the ones that aren't around anymore. And, it's those are the reads that really get to me. And, as a father of three, as a grandfather of one, I mean, you can't help but look there and see there, but for the grace of God, go my kids. And if that doesn't get to you, you know, nothing will.
Yeah, that is touching. And the positive side of all that, and for really everything you do and every single kid who's shown on the scoreboard over a course of a game, that is their moment of the year. You guys have to feel that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You definitely feel it. And, you know, it's, again, you're honored to be able to tell the story. You know, you wish you didn't have to, but you're honored you get to tell it.
Well, you guys do a great job. The whole production crew and
best team in the business.
All the folks. Yeah. You guys do such an amazing job and it shows. And It's always great to talk to you, Paul. I will see you Saturday, but thanks for joining us tonight. I know the folks love hearing from you, and more than just who scored the goal and the assists and how much time is left. So great to have you on.
I appreciate that, Max, very much. Thank you for inviting me. I'll come back anytime. Just give me a holler.
All right. The great Paul McCann, PA voice of Bridgestone Arena and the Nashville Predators for the last 16 seasons and counting, our guest for the second half year of Smashville Live tonight. Want to thank Michelle Kennedy, Preds Chief Operating Officer, for joining us for the first half of the show. If you missed any of that interview or want to hear it again, it will be on the Game Nashville's website under the Smashville Live tab and also on Apple Podcasts as well. So go check that out if you missed it. The Hockey Block continues coming up next. Penalty Box Radio with Justin Bradford and Abigail Martin. Jared Cassidy has been our producer tonight. Smashville Live every Wednesday night from 6 to 7 is presented by Spring Hill Eating and Cooling, New Amsterdam Vodka, and Red Spirits and Wine. That's all we got for tonight. The Preds Talk continues up next with PBR. I'm Max Herz signing off. You're on 102.5 The Game.